Since the beginning of time, man battles questions as to how to survive this crazy world we live in, and only God has the answers to all men's questions. Come travel the roads that leads us to the cross.
Today on Crossroads, we want to discuss the issue of anger that stays unresolved. And I'd like to take us to Ephesians 4, 26 and 22, then gives us a command, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Can we really allow anger as a way of dealing with problems? Now, going back to the verse of be angry and sin not, there is a positive side of anger. When God's rights are violated, that is called righteous anger. But when our rights are violated, we play God in demanding justice our way. We cannot duplicate or substitute righteous anger for our own reaction to anger. Since we cannot control circumstances in life or change the past, we get offended and we slide that slippery slope into ingratitude and depression, then losing all hope. Anger seldom, if ever, promotes true love, unless it is the righteous anger of God at sin and His love for us caught in anger and sin causes His love to go to any extent to break us free. We have been broken free at the cross of Jesus Christ, and yet we must learn how that has taken place, and the beautiful effects that it has given us forever. It is a common day occurrence in millions of lives each day. These circumstances can and may have repercussions on our health, both physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. But God has provided an answer to this departure and our need to return to His command. Even if we cannot totally forgive to the one that has harmed us, because yes, that can take some processing in our thinking, or maybe that one is still active in hurting us, we can go to our Father God in conversation and prayer and give Him our wounded hearts. Oh, Lord, it hurts. I can't believe how this has happened. We've lost control. I never wanted this to be, but I don't know how to fix it. We can express the truth that, yes, we have offended our Father with our acts, attitudes, and actions. We can confess and give Him the whole mess from our hearts without having to be concerned of getting to where He will reject us. He freely hears our hearts and offers full forgiveness. Now, emotions are a great gift from God when used correctly. Emotions are great guidelines, and here are a couple of tips in controlling them for growth in character and many other benefits. Guideline number one, be willing to forgive others as He has already forgiven us for all that offended Him. Guideline two, respond with a grateful heart. This can only be done by the power of the Spirit and the love of the Lord in realizing His great mercy as being the solution source for all types of anger. Guideline number three. This lesson applied frees us from fear and the hurt of anger. They are activated through exercising the character lived by the fruit of the Spirit, as outlined in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Renegade motions do not come from God. They come with the fall. They are a product of our fallen nature, now turned against God and permeated with an exceedingly powerful and evil force called sin. Not only did selfish sin nature turn Adam and Eve's world upside down, but their emotions turned them inside out. Instead of being master over their emotions, they became victim of their emotions. And so powerful are these emotions, men and women are no longer ruled by heavenly reality, but rather by their emotions, and these in no way enrich or build up a person's life, but will control, blackmail, and even try to destroy new creature in Christ's thinking. Now, great Christian workers such as Charles Haddon Spurgeon and Amy Carmichael battled emotion of depression a good portion of their lives. So we need to recognize no one is immune to these insidious emotions turned inward and turned wrong. Nor do we really understand how true godly Christians battle when they know the truth can set us free. Likewise, the great physician is always available to us 24/7. And knows the root cause of all imbalances in our thinking. You know, it's so comforting to know that men and women who knew their God, trusted Him, and led thousands out of bondage may have had to balance the fight of outside forces being overwhelmed. It certainly kept them sensitive to those of similar circumstances in pain. Now, it's very important that we refer to the overcoming of afflictions to keep straight that it is not primarily overcoming the family of Christ, as we are all overcomers in being in Christ, in growing together as one. Now, some of us are going to be on different levels. Some of us are going to be children born at different times. We'll be growing at different rates and in different words and actions as children and adults learn to work out their differences dealing within the family. Our fighting needs to have the mindset that we are against the world to overcome sin that constantly wants to invade the family, and in Jeremiah's case, it was the nations. We need to realize that we are in the world to overcome the evil, not necessarily each other. Ephesians 6, the hostile forces that want to destroy the name, the reputation, and the testimony of the finished work on the cross is where our real fight is. It should not be with our brothers and sisters, but against the host of unseen forces that want to take their thinking, resulting in anger, but knowing that we are accepted in the Beloved, according to Ephesians 6, and how we go about to overcome. Now, within the body of Christ, the family's job is to protect and train each one of us on how to build up the soul and spirit of our family, how to protect the unity we already have in Christ, and not to fight with each other on points that we may have a disagreement about. That is why we are commanded to discern in seeking solutions for the problems, not judging, seeking to destroy and throw down our differences. Even with Jeremiah, there was a time that came where he could build and plant. Anger will cease and arguing will melt into seeking the peace that causes others to stand in awe as they battle their whole life in contention and confusions, seeking man's wisdom that cannot solve a person's deepest needs from sin and self. But when we are dependent on the provisions that Jesus Christ has made, then we will start to see anger ceasing and the arguing melting into His peace. Now, if we truly take to heart Colossians 1:24, where it says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, then we have purpose to respond in His love, not according to anger. Ephesians 6:12 said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. But many times we look at our brothers and sisters and we decide that they are the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, and we definitely respond with anger. Not correct. Now, a lot of other emotions rise from anger, and responses and what man wants are answers, such as, what about anxiety? Where does it start? I feel so guilty and can hardly live and work when always feeling like a failure, especially if I compare myself to others. But God has the answers. But most look first to the medical community for answers. There's been a paradigm shift change in recent decades, because the demands of people want a quick fix and a feel-good life. Much of the medicine is going more to treating the symptoms rather than the causes, with emotions deciding rather than the facts. The patient tells the doctor, just give me a pill to make the hurt go away. By the way, hurt and anger are kissing cousins. You probably will have one if you have the other one somewhere in the area where you have messed up. History helps us with this. The Bible offers a great example of the first case of these renegade emotions like guilt, fear, dread. Adam, along with Eve, believe the devil and what he was offering them, which was not the truth. And in doing so, they got snake bit, feeling guilty, and then experienced fear. It was fear that caused them to hide from God. And their love of God had become the dread of God, for they feared punishment from God that was to be meted out. Basically, emotions tell us what we feel is right or what we feel is wrong. A case of pleasure or maybe pain. In other words, emotions are messengers. And that's why it is so important to ask ourselves, Why do we feel the way we feel? Emotions can really get messy. However, they can be managed when we realize they are a precious gift from God to aid us in many different ways. It is our misuse of our emotions. It is the misuse of our precious gift of emotions that creates the problems and drive us crazy. Both men and women suffer from emotional escapades, but not understanding the other's expressions of wounds and hurts that go deep and lasting, many times the emotions get buried in our brain and our nervous system, but we don't recall it until something awakens our memory. Men and women can be fighting each other with the same problem, but expressing it so differently in how man versus woman sees life in many different aspects. We cannot fix our emotional turmoil ourselves, no matter how hard we try or even pursue regular counseling. We need the Holy Spirit to free us from bondage to our negative emotions and allow us to honor, rebalance, and express God's heart, His character, in our positive emotions, in our thinking, and in our beliefs. Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals, because Jesus Christ has given us everything for life and godliness. Here's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. And then the rest of that passage gives us the steps to overcoming the goal of brotherly kindness, love, with Jesus Christ leading the way. If followed, we'll neither be barren nor unfruitful. That relieves anger. It is partly the expectations we have with others and sometimes the way God's dealing with us that causes anger to fly and rage or smolder in a slow burn. Now, staying with the content of character mixed with the correct mindset starts us with knowing the precious promises. And the rest of the chapter outlines step by step the path to resolving anger and other patterns of belief that need correction, such as in verse 5, we are to cling and give all diligence to our faith, the foundation of our daily walk in trust. Also in verse 5, we are to pursue virtue, which is really moral excellence, that the progression of building blocks towards the goal of knowing God and Jesus Christ can begin with the precious promises. And then in verse 6, we have knowledge, which will allow self-control, making it possible to persevere in matters of godliness. Now, godliness is simply a focus on the eternal in all matters, whether temporal or future. And if we follow this pattern, this will develop the heart to want to pursue brotherly kindness in perfect love, God's love. So, no need for anger. Now, a few verses later in this text, Peter states three times he wanted to remind them of what he had just said and to remind their hearts what the pattern and the role is in being grounded in anything that can cause anger or anxiety. Continuing to study the Bible as our guide, James 1:19 counsels, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Because wrath, which includes anger, does not work the righteousness of God. Staying in James 1, but verse 22, he commands us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That is huge. We deceive ourselves. Probably you only have to watch the social media or the evening news to see how that is being done. But Psalms 46:10 gives us some healthy counsel. Be still and know that I am God. Now, this is not a call to passivity or laziness or lacking of service, but it is the great essential because, number one, we live in an antagonistic world. Two, we face an avalanche of opposition. Three, we meet the violent attacks from the enemy. And four, we fight the carnal appetites of the flesh. So in face of all of this, we need the great essential, waiting on God. Prayer is the Christian's first line of defense in waiting on God. In battle, where did the saints go when they were hard-pressed? They prayed. In persecution, they went to prayer. That's Acts 4:24. They met God, and He met them. In perplexities, they went to prayer. Daniel 2:27-19. They went to God. He was there. In prison cells, Paul and Silas prayed. Acts 16:25. And God shook the doors open with a mighty earthquake. And they stayed and did not run, but they stayed to be a testimony to those that did not know the Lord and were holding them in prison. And last but certainly not least, in painful martyrdom, Stephen took the first line of defense in Acts 7, verses 59 and 60. And he said, "Father, forgive these that are stoning me, for they know not what they do." Mercy was living, not anger, that would have been a normal response for someone not knowing God the Father, not trusting, not waiting on the God the Father. But he could give forth a supernatural truth from his heart in mercy, in even being stoned to death. And now in the period of church, we can see the loss of good preachers and teachers that are going home before us, but we have prayed. Acts 7:59 and 60 again. Today, we have followed paths that never let us bypass the crossroads to shine light on the problem of anger. God always has answers to man's questions as we wait on Him to hear His voice with our hearts. May we all move a little slower and quieter as we serve the Lord and Savior, King of Kings. Following in quiet rest of obedience will resolve our anger problem. Thank you today for joining in the discussion on how to have victory in our emotions, conquering anger unresolved.
You have been listening to Crossroads with Janie Ratzlaff. For more resources, go to SharedHearts.org/crossroads. crossroads.